Welcome in episode 110. What's Right with Nick Wright, the podcast and YouTube show. We're going to have a bit of a call to action here as we're live on YouTube. We had someone at a Nebraska furniture mart, which does not exist where I live now, but did exist where I lived in Kansas City, and it's where I outfitted all of my first few apartments to. If you haven't lived in the Midwest, you don't understand. It's like, imagine a place three times the size of the biggest IKEA you've ever been to that has everything. They put the What's Right show on their 100-inch TV. We had someone at an airport bar at LAX put us on there. So if you're in control of a smart TV at a business somewhere, throw up our podcast and then tweet it out and at me, I might not see it. At DeMonze, he should definitely see it. And at What's Right show, I think it's really cool to see this doofus in his brand new shorts and sweatsuit combo. Who got you for that for Christmas, buddy?
You did.
I folded my hand. I found out DeMonze was right that the sweatshirt shorts combo not only is popular, it's such a popular clothing item that they have matching outfits together. I got to that at Scotch and Soda.
One of your favorite stores.
One of my favorite stores. I'm actually also wearing a Scotch and Soda sweatsuit. I'm going with the more traditional sweatpants more with sweatshirt. So if you're just listening to the pod, you can't see our sartorial looks at the moment. You can do that by watching on YouTube. Here's what is not on. What, you roll your eyes because it said sartorial? Let's get to what missed. No problem. JJ Watt announcing his retirement. I crushed DeMonze's hopes and dreams in our rematch of Madden and airport madness in the United States, which, by the way, if you are stuck in an airport, maybe they'll be as nice as the people at LAX were to put the What's Right show on the airport television.
Airport of LAX, man. That's crazy.
It is wild. I don't know what terminal is in, but it's pretty cool. By the way, DeMonze didn't know we were playing for real stakes in that Madden game. He's about to find out, however, because you know the wonderful people that own the ice cream shop next door?
Yeah.
You know their three wonderful children?
Yeah.
Well, they're all spending the night at the house tonight. That's fine. But they're also getting dropped off to the house about 3:30. And your sister's...
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. Your sister's not home. Your mom's going to be working at this very store, and my show's still going to be going on. So for about 90 minutes, you and those three wonderful children...
Those are definitely stakes that have to be...
Well, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. I found out this morning, so... It's going to be old Mr. Babysitter DeMonze for about 90 minutes. I hope they enjoy watching Call of Duty. All right, time now for the show. We just talked about what one of my son's plans for today is. Let's talk about what my other son did a couple days ago. DeMonze?
You must be the proudest father, man.
Oh, you have no idea.
Luka Doncic put up one of the wildest stat lines in NBA history with 60, 21, and 10. Against the Knicks on Tuesday.
All right, real quick, before we even get to it. When I texted you that screenshot of his box score, Could you believe it?
No, it's, that was wild. I think especially seeing the missed free throw buzzer, well, not yep. buzzer beater, but well, game
it kind of was
shot.
A buzzer beater. Yeah, yeah. So we'll get into that right now. Go ahead.
You said that this game needs to be talked about in the same vein as Wilt's 100 point game and Kobe's 81 point game. I'm sure we're going to show a tweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, there we go.
Greatest regular season performances in NBA history alongside Wilt's 100 and Kobe's 81. Go ahead. What's the question?
In what world is this even close to those?
Well, it's better than Kobe's.
Yeah, because he didn't have 20 rebounds.
Or 10 assists. Okay, so here's my argument.
Were either of those games in a loss? Kobe's 81-point game. Or
no,
Choka.
But this wasn't a loss either.
No, I know. I was saying.
No, they weren't in a loss. So I think the best regular season performances ever are in this order. Wilt's 100, what Luka did 2 days ago, Kobe's 81-point game.
LeBron's.
No.
Oh.
Jordan. Jordan had 69, 18, and 6 in an overtime win against the Cavs in 1990, a game that gets forgotten. But by basketball reference game score, that's actually the best game ever by their game score metric. So here's why Kobe's 81 point game is more iconic. This was harder. And it was harder for a number of reasons. First of all, let me ask you this, Demonze. Do you think in the next decade, someone else will score 80? Because I do.
Okay.
We saw Devin Booker score 70.
Right.
We saw Klay Thompson score 60 without playing the fourth quarter. We have seen James Harden score 60 without playing the fourth quarter. We saw Kyrie score 60 while barely playing in the fourth quarter. We also saw Kobe before the 81-point game score 62 against the Mavs without playing the fourth quarter. Meaning, we have seen guys come within the realm of an 80-point game if that's what they were gunning for, right?
Okay.
The 60-20-10, no one has ever approached it, including Wilt. It's an impossible stat line.
Pretty crazy to think about, considering Wilt had this body frame that he did.
Well, and it's crazy. Almost every NBA individual game record, it's the first player to do X since Wilt who did it 14 times. Like, Wilt is his own record book. Wilt never did this. So 60 points in and of itself is wild. 20 rebounds, for the context of that, LeBron, playoffs or regular season, has never had a 20-rebound game. Jordan never had a 20-rebound game.
What about my guy Jokic?
Jokic absolutely has had multiple 20-rebound games. Jokic getting to 60 points seems highly unlikely. So Jokic, I think, would be the guy you'd say, maybe Jokic could do this. I'll believe it when I see it. 60 is a tough number. As James Harden, who has a 60-point triple-double in his career, the only other one in NBA history, has never had a 20-rebound game, playoffs or a regular season. So I don't think this will ever be done again. Unless Luka does it again. So that's first of all. Second of all, they were down 9 with 30 seconds left. They won the game. Play-by-play data goes back at least 20 years. In the last 20 years, prior to this game, 13,884 teams had been down 9 or more, I guess, with 30 seconds left. How many of those 13,884 do you think won the game?
One or two, zero or one.
Zero.
Okay.
So it was an unprecedented comeback. Then there is the intentional missed free throw, get the rebound, make the putback aspect of it. Incredibly hard to execute. And then the victory in overtime. All of that, and he did it on 68% shooting.
Right.
All of that, to me, makes it more impressive than Kobe's 81. It is not, again, there's a difference between what is more iconic and what is more impressive. What is more, as far as when NBA fans think of, and Kobe's a more iconic player. Yeah. And Kobe was on such a historic scoring run that season that it culminating in the 80-point game is unbelievable. This was harder. And this was, by definition, more unprecedented. I know we're splitting hairs here, but scoring 81 in a basketball game had been done before. One time by Wilt. A 60-20-10 had never been done before. So for all those reasons, I think Kobe's 81-point game gets dropped third. One. Yeah, his third. And Luka just had the greatest game in the regular season that was ever televised. Because Wilt's game famously was not on
TV. We got a lot of fans in here that disagree with that. A lot.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. It's not that much that disagrees. Who had the best all-time game? 53% say Wilt.
That question's not the who had the hardest impressive.
No. This is fine. No, but I agree it's Wilt. I have Wilt at number one.
Yeah. Copy.
So 27% say Kobe, 19% say Luka. So more people disagree with me than agree with me, but it's not.
Right.
It's not a rout.
Yeah.
And I listen, Wilt's 100-point game stands on its own. It's 100 points. It's 100 points.
We got that's, no video footage of it.
No, we have no video of it. I know. It wasn't on TV.
It's kind of strange if you ask me.
Oh, conspiracy. DeMonte's conspiracy corner. All right, next.
All right. The NFC clearly has three top dogs. Sorry, Vikings.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The Cowboys look strong after taking down the Eagles. And despite Philly's loss, they still have the best record in the NFL at 13-2. And the 49ers are rolling with Brock Purdy and have won 8 straight.
Yeah.
We still got a lot of holiday spirit left in us, so let's play a game with these teams.
Okay.
This week is when you can return presents you don't like. Mm-hmm. So if these teams were gifts, who are you keeping and who are you regifting and who are you returning?
Okay, so I'm keeping the Niners.
Okay.
I think the Niners are, this is not just because I picked them before the season to go to the Super Bowl. The Niners have been dominant for 2 months. Yeah. The Chiefs crushed them, and since then, they have been absolutely rolling. And they've done it despite the fact that they have a rookie seventh rounder at quarterback. I am re-gifting the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys right now are very dangerous and getting healthy at the right time. And I'm returning Philly. Listen, the two most important players on Philly's offense are their quarterback and their right tackle, Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson is done. They say just for the regular season. They hope for him back in the playoffs. I'm skeptical. And their quarterback, his injury is to his throwing shoulder. The idea that he is going to come back and just be the guy he was before is, to me, overly optimistic, especially
because... He's got that run game to fall back on,
but
though.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, DeMonte. I would be incredibly nervous if I were Philly with my designed runs with him.
Right.
That you know what I mean? So it's just the worst case scenario that your quarterback, who was it's in some people's minds the league MVP, has an injury to his throwing shoulder. They are the most effective 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 team. Why? Because they do that rugby scrum where he runs into the line of scrimmage and gets pushed by his own teammates.
Right.
Are you going to be comfortable doing that with this guy? So the injury you suffered to your shoulder is an AC joint sprain.
Right.
He suffered what's called an SC joint strain, which means sternoclavicular. So I'm obviously not a doctor, but the sternum and your clavicle, right, that area, that concerns me, man. So their secondary's banged up. Their right tackle is out. Their quarterback's currently out. They have no playoff experience with this roster and this coach except for one game last year when they got crushed. I think Philly is the peak too early team, unlucky injury team. I'd be very nervous if I were them.
Do we do with the Vikings? Sorry if you were...
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
What are we going to do with the Vikings? We throw them away?
Vikings are tough because here's how I see it going for the Vikings. It's very simple. I think the Vikings in the first round of the playoffs are playing either the Giants, Washington, Detroit, whomever, should win that game. Then they play San Francisco in round 2 and get annihilated. That's what I think is going to happen with the Vikings. And by the way, the Giants just played them as close as you can play a team. They beat the Giants in Minnesota on a 61-yard field goal at the gun. So I don't think the Vikings are a lock, if they play the Giants, or the Lions for that matter, to win in round 1. I think I would pick them to win, but I don't think they're a lock. I think they're dead to the Niners. Go ahead.
Is Brock Purdy quarterback come playoff time?
Well, I believe so. I mean, listen, Jimmy is still hurt, but with Purdy playing the way he's been playing, even if Jimmy got healthy,
right,
I think I'd roll with Brock Purdy. But right now, he's their only quarterback option. Josh Johnson is their backup.
So if, say, in a crazy world, the Vikings beat the Niners because Brock Purdy's nervous in the playoffs or something.
That could happen. Go ahead.
The Vikings, you can't see the
Vikings. Well, listen, if they get past the Niners, then, yeah, then absolutely you've got to open up a possibility they go to the Super Bowl. I don't think they could get past the Niners.
All right.
I just don't. I think that Niners defense is too good. All right, next. Mark,
do we have a poll?
There's no poll for that one. Okay. Or at least I don't see it if there is.
No, there's not. Go ahead. All right, down in Tampa, Tom Brady didn't even let the ink on his obituaries dry before he pulled off another comeback in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And after beating Miami on Christmas, Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay are still very alive.
Yeah.
Did you foolishly write off Rodgers and the Packers too early?
Mm-hmm.
And if they both make it, who has the better shot to lead a deep playoff run?
The Bucks.
Yeah.
So Rodgers has not played well all year. And during this winning streak, he's been worse than he was the previous dozen games. During the winning streak, where they have beaten the Bears, who can't beat anyone,
right,
the Rams, and then a good win against Miami, but they didn't play that well. Tua just melted down in that game. Rodgers has three total touchdowns, two picks, and an 85 passer rating. It'd be one thing if the Packers all of a sudden were alive because Rodgers turned a corner. But that is not what has happened. Rodgers has turned no corner. He's been mediocre all year. And Christian Watson, who's been huge for them, absolutely huge for them, has a hip injury. And that is highly concerning if he's going to be able to play this week or not. And so, listen, I think the Packers lose this week. But if they were to get in, I don't believe in them. The Bucs in round one would play the Cowboys. I'd be picking the Cowboys. However, the Bucs did beat the Cowboys 19-3 earlier this year. And if the Bucs were to beat Dallas, would I give them a shot to go to Philadelphia with all the injuries we're talking about? Tampa would, by definition, be coming off its biggest win of the year. Yeah, I would. Let me say one other weird thing about the NFL's playoff formatting. If the Bucs win Sunday against Carolina,
okay,
they lock up the division, okay? Because if you win your division, you're guaranteed a home playoff game and a top four seed. If the Bucs win, they will be 8-8 and have locked up the four spot. I'm 99% sure I'm correct on that. Let me make sure, just double check. If they win, yes. If they win on Sunday, they win the division. So here's why that's relevant. The Bucs, having been mediocre all year long, can give themselves a bye. They win Sunday. They can't fall below the four line. They can't raise above the four line. Week 18 becomes totally meaningless for them. And all of a sudden, you can give Brady and Mike Evans and your defense and everybody a week off in week 18. Even though you have not earned a bye, you will be locked into your playoff seed, playing for nothing, and can go into the postseason rested and healthy. Dallas, on the other hand, if they win this week and Philly loses, Dallas will have to play everyone in week 18. Why? Because they will still be alive for the one seed and the division. So it's a weird spot where Tampa, despite being mediocre or bad all year, if they win Sunday, can just rest in week 18. All right, who will go further in the playoffs? 28% on our poll question for people watching live on YouTube. Don't forget to put your questions and comments in the comments. We'll get to them at the end of the show. 28% say the Packers, 72% say the Bucks. All right, last.
The Broncos finally ripped off the Band-Aid with Nat Hackett.
Yeah.
Turns out you're right about Denver and also about Russ this entire time.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Let's not gloss over that. Let's not gloss over the fact that I had to listen to people tell me, oh, Nick, you're hating on the Broncos because you're afraid. DeMonte was
definitely one of those.
You can't actually think the Broncos aren't going to be good. How could they not be good? They added Russell Wilson. Oh, it's the toughest division ever.
How is anybody supposed to know Russell Wilson would be this bad?
Listen to your boy. Listen to me. I tried to warn everybody. All right, go ahead.
Fair enough. All right, as a reward, you get to watch Mahomes and the Chiefs feast on the remains.
Yeah.
Now is a good time as ever for Mahomes to make his MVP statement game and lock up the $1.25 million bonus.
I didn't even know he had that. He gets 1.25 million for winning league MVP.
So it's like the same thing as like the clause with Kyler Murray and like the studying. Like
no,
it's like
it's not the same thing, but it's similar. It's like an addendum to the contract. Milestone. Yeah, there you go. It's like a 2K milestone.
5 rebounds, 40 VC.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Except it's league MVP and it's $1.25 million. It actually. So here's a weird thing, and then I'll let you get to your question. It's minuscule against the cap, so it's not a big deal. It's low-key, though, a tiny bit bad for the Chiefs. So the way you put contract incentives into contracts in salary cap sports is there's likely to be earned and not likely to be earned, okay? So the reason you have to have those is likely to be earned incentives count against the cap before you earn them. Not likely to be earned, count against the cap retroactively. So let me give you an example. Let's just say you sign Tyreek Hill with the Dolphins. If they say you get an extra $1 million if you get 50 catches, that $1 million automatically, instantly counts against the cap because he gets 50 likely. Catches every year.
Right.
If you put on there, if you lead the league in touchdown catches, you get $1 million. That's unlikely to be earned because he's never done it, right? So anything that is win the Super Bowl, you get X, win league MVP, you get X, is considered unlikely to be earned because only one guy does it, only one team does it, right? But then once you earn it, it counts against the cap. So Mahomes winning league MVP takes $1.25 million away from the Chiefs cap for next season. Not a big deal, and he's earned it, but it is a little interesting nuance, at least interesting to me. Might be boring to other people. What's your question?
The more you know.
Yeah.
Is Mahomes primed to win back his place in your heart from Luka with a performance for the ages this week in Arrowhead?
All right, I don't want a Mahomes performance for the ages. I don't. Flatly. I just want the Chiefs to get out of these next 2 weeks healthy. So sometimes injuries are a combination of skill, coaching, and luck. Some injuries are just bad luck, and sometimes teams clearly coach with injuries in mind and call plays with injuries in mind, and the Chiefs are in a position where, while the Eagles are getting banged up, and the Bills are getting banged up, and the Bengals just lost their right tackle, the Chiefs quietly have been incredibly healthy the last few weeks. They're getting Mecole Hardman back. They're about to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back, which I don't really care so much about. He's third best running back on the team. They are going to be super conservative in their play calling and how their style of offense these next 2 weeks to try to make sure, most notably, Kelce and Mahomes stay healthy. And so I don't expect there to be a lot of deep downfield over the middle passing. I don't expect Patrick to be running a lot. I expect them to be three-step drops, get the ball out of his hands, run the football, get out of here with victories. And the Raiders did the Chiefs a solid here by conceding their season's over, going to Jared Stidham. Though what I was a little nervous about was the Raiders would stick with Carr, win this week, have like a 2% chance at the playoffs going into week 18 and be, you know, a kitchen sink type of game. Instead, they're done. Right. They benched Carr. They went to Stidham. They'll lose this week and it's over. And so now the Chiefs just need to stay healthy because they're not going to be able to rest everybody in week 18. Because the one seed is still in play. So they're only the other thing that's really weird is for the Chiefs, if they win their final two and the Bills lose one of their two games, either the Bengals or to the Patriots, the Chiefs are the one seed and they get a bye. If the Chiefs lose one of these games, they will fall potentially to the three seed, not get a bye, have a very tough round one game probably against Baltimore, and then be going to Buffalo or Cincinnati in round two. disaster.
Right.
As opposed to being at home and being in a position where Buffalo and Cincinnati, you only have to play one of them, and it's after they've played each other, assuming they both win round one. So it's a very, you know, small needle the Chiefs are trying to thread. I think it's going to work, and I think the fact that the Broncos firing Nat Hackett, maybe they'll have a bit of a boost, but the replacement coach is the dude Nat Hackett hired midseason to run the clock for him, Jerry Rosberg, who's never been an NFL coach. I'm not worried about the Broncos. I'm not worried about the Raiders. I just need the Bengals to beat the Bills on Monday night.
Coaching shortage, man.
Yeah, it's hard. They need to pull. I'll tell you this much. 6 more months, DeMonze, of you playing Madden as often as you've been playing lately.
I'll be able to surpass Nat Hackett as far as coaching.
Well, you've already surpassed him as far as clock management. Not coaching, but clock management. 6 more months of Madden, you'll be better than 80% of coaches in the NFL. Take a quick break, play some games. We're live on YouTube with episode 110 of What's Right Show. With Factors, delicious, ready-to-eat meals you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/NickWright50 and use code NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NickWright50 at factormeals.com/NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor. Welcome back in. Let me send out this link for episode 110 of What's Right Show for our Twitter audience. There we go. So hopefully more people join us on YouTube. We're just short of 91,000 subscribers on YouTube. We are going to extend the bonus period. We were said by January 1st. We're not going to get to 100,000 by January 1st. We're going to extend it through the Super Bowl. So if we can get another 9,300 YouTube subscribers between now and the Super Bowl, DeMonze will get his $1,000 bonus, yes, which would be very useful for him as DeMonze is getting ready to move cross country, move to Los Angeles. We're going to have some podcast. We're going to have to figure out what we're doing podcast wise when DeMonze moves. We got a lot of potential possibilities. We haven't really discussed that yet. Might have to hire somebody. Oh, well, I'm talking more about what we're going to do as far as how we're going to do the co-hosting. You mean as far as setting up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't see you doing that.
Yeah. I understand. I get that. You know what, DeMonze? The more I think about it, I can't see myself doing it either. So, yeah, we might have to bring in some outside help. I got to tell you. You mean you don't see me every day getting here a little early, putting cameras together, then putting them away afterwards? You don't see that being on brand for me these days?
I don't.
I've got to tell you.
Got something in the works, though. Victor might be coming out here. I probably shouldn't have said that.
Victor might be coming out here to teach me?
It's a possibility.
Let's keep that off the air. Yeah. Who knows? Victor's running from the law or something. What's he doing? We'll figure it out. There's a lot of people that would love to be, you know, a contracted employee for the Blue Duck Media Empire.
My guy, Joe.
Okay, I don't know who Joe is.
I never say I didn't do anything for you, Joe.
Okay, who's Joe?
It's my friend. It's like my only friend. Whenever I tell you I'm going out with Joe and his girlfriend, it's like,
oh, your friend's in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, DeMonte's out here.
Look, he's a big fan of you, and I didn't tell him that you were my dad.
Oh, really?
He saw the podcast one day. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
He's a big fan. He'd like to, but
Okay, yeah. We'll figure it out. Listen, right. We'll figure it out, or we'll just go back to doing it from my house. We built this whole studio. I don't know. I just know that it's good, but it's not the point. The point is subscribe on YouTube, hit the bell so you find out when we go live. And by the way, apologies Monday for not being on the air. Colin Cowherd got marooned, as half the country did, seemingly traveling, and couldn't get to LA in time to host the herd. So I had to host the herd on Monday, or I got to host the herd on Monday, I should say. Ton of fun. It's always an honor to fill in for Colin. But because of that, we had to, at the last minute, cancel What's Right. It wasn't because we were taking the day off. It wasn't because of the holidays. It was just because I had television obligations.
Does Colin do that?
Set up his own cameras and lights? No, I'm going to say Colin does not do that. I'm going to say Colin sits and has the microphone. I don't even know if he turns on his own microphone. But you know, when you're the greatest sports radio guy ever, you've earned that type of dispensation. All right, let's play a game. What are we doing, DeMonte?
All right, with 2022 coming to an end, we thought we'd have our very own Nixtradamus soothsayer of sport look into the future to tell us what 2023 holds for
that's
these
a
NFL
great
quarterback.
I like that. Go ahead.
That is awesome. Yeah. Zach and Mac in the AFC East seem to both be on their way out.
Mm-hmm.
You've hinted you think Derek Carr could be heading east.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams and 49ers have serious quarterback dilemmas with Stafford and Baker in LA for now. Jimmy G, Lance and Brock in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar and Tua both are dealing with uncertain futures with those injuries.
Yep.
And Russ, we all know about Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and Will Levis in the draft. Nixtradamus, use your powers to predict where the dominoes will fall.
Okay. I think Derek Carr is going to play for the Jets next year.
Okay.
Zach Wilson's done. Maybe they trade him for a sixth round pick or something. He's done. Mike White's a nice story. They're not going into a season with Mike White as the starting quarterback. They're just not. I think they're going to sign Derek Carr. I think they're going to be very happy with Derek Carr. I also think Derek Carr coming available hurts Jimmy G, because Jimmy G was going to be the best available quarterback. Take Brady out of it, because Brady's in his own category. But now I think most people think Carr's better than Jimmy G. I do. So I think the Jets will go after Carr. I think Washington goes after Jimmy G. Now, maybe Carson Wentz goes on a magical run the next few weeks. That's not going to happen. They've already soured on Wentz, even though they're going back to him. They wanted Jimmy G last year. He then had surgery because he didn't want to go there. I think they offer him money. I think Washington goes after Jimmy G. I think Mac Jones is the quarterback for the Patriots next year. I think it's dumb. I think Bailey Zappe gives them a better option, but they're stuck and screwed either way. So I think Zach Wilson's gone with the Jets and Derek Carr goes there. I think Mac Jones is the quarterback for the Patriots. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners are not re-signing Jimmy. The Niners, though, I think Brady goes to either the Niners or the Raiders. I think that the Raiders with Josh McDaniels or the Niners, which is home for him, his childhood home. Now, if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, obviously they're going to roll with him. But bringing in Brady for a year when Trey Lance hasn't shown you anything yet, and my guess is at some point Purdy looks like the seventh-round rookie that he is, I think that might be too attractive for both sides to pass on while having Purdy and Lance under contract. So I think Brady to the Niners. I think the Raiders might be, you know, left without a seat in musical chairs. Now, maybe they make a run at Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe that's why they're moving on from Carr, to make a run at Jimmy themselves. Josh McDaniels obviously has the history with Jimmy. But if you're the Raiders, if Derek Carr's not good enough, why would Jimmy Garoppolo be good enough? Tua, I think, is going to be the quarterback for the Dolphins next year. I don't know if he's going to play again this year. I think he's going to be the quarterback for them next year. Lamar, I think the Ravens are just going to franchise tag him again. And we'll see if he holds out. Well, it wouldn't be holding out if they franchise tag him, but if he refuses to sign it. But I think Lamar stays with the Ravens. I think Tua stays with the Dolphins. The Broncos have no choice but to stay with Russ. No choice whatsoever. Bryce Young is going to be the number one pick of the draft and go to Houston. I'm not sure about the others. If I'm the Bears, you're obviously not drafting a quarterback, but you can trade that pick to a team that needs a quarterback. And I thought the Jets might make a Godfather offer for Lamar. Would the Raiders make a Godfather offer for Lamar? Maybe. I don't think the Ravens are going to let Lamar go. I think the Ravens are going to try to work something out with Lamar. Lamar is a flawed player, but they don't want to start over at that position. And he's been great for them, especially given that he was the final pick of the first round. I think Lamar stays with the Ravens. Cut this, mark this whole thing down and remind me in 5 months. We'll see how I do on all of it. My predictions are that Zach's done in New York and they get Derek Carr. Mac Jones stays with the Patriots. Jimmy Garoppolo goes to Washington. Brady goes to San Francisco or the Raiders. Lamar stays with the Ravens. Russ obviously stays with the Broncos. Tua's the week one starter for the Dolphins next year. Yeah, all right. 100%. What are we doing now?
All right.
I hear it's a new game.
Time for a new game.
Okay.
It's called Saint Nick.
Yeah.
Gonna have some fun Photoshops in here.
Okay, fun.
All right. We have another new holiday theme game. You gonna say, Nick? We just said that.
Okay.
There
you
it goes
said that
again.
Really fast. We have a new holiday themed game.
Yeah, because I had already said it.
I understand.
So
no, I would
try to
repeating it.
Just because Christmas is over doesn't mean that we're done handing out presents yet.
Yeah.
In this game, I'll be suggesting some gifts for you to give to some of the stars from the NBA Christmas games.
Okay.
Luckily, Saint Nick knows just what to get for guys who already have everything. So let me know if I got it right.
Okay.
Or if you have a better idea.
Okay.
First off, we will start with your favorite Slovenian son.
Yeah.
Luka needs some help taking the edge off after carrying his team night in and night out. He said he wanted a beer after his 60-point triple-double.
Such a legend.
But we all know what he really wants, and that's a cigarette.
So what are we getting him? Some cigarettes? Okay. Look at that is a funny Photoshop. Luka shouldn't be smoking during the season.
I mean, he's proven that he can.
Well, we're
not going to act like he's not smoking cigarettes throughout the season.
I don't know if he is or not. It'd be kind of legendary if he were. I love that he said
different.
He wants a recovery beer. Also, have you seen Luka lately? With the dunks?
Yeah.
He had a couple hammers lately that I didn't know he could do. A carton of cigarettes seems a little ambitious. Luka, do you think Luka does what I do, which is the one cigarette a day thing? I smoke one, I shouldn't do this, and it's not every day, but most days when I get home from work, when I walk the dog, I smoke one cigarette. It's my one cigarette a day. I think Luka, after a game, just one heater rewards himself.
I think he 100% got a cigarette and a beer after that game.
You do?
Yeah.
What a legend.
I think
he's such a legend. All right, next.
Next, we got LeBron.
Yeah.
With Anthony Davis set to miss significant time, the Lakers are back where they started, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, LeBron is really on chasing records and building his legacy, so let's help him out. We saw Dirk get his statue in Dallas over the weekend, so let's get ahead of it and give your greatest player of the last 50 years a statue outside of the crypt.
Yeah, I mean, I think LeBron deserves statues outside three arenas.
Three.
Well, Cleveland, there's no question.
Of course.
And the statue in Cleveland should be the block. It should be the block on Iguodala to win the title. That should be a statue in Cleveland. Miami, it should be the dunk.
The Wade.
Yes.
Lob.
The Wade lob dunk. I don't know if Miami will give him a statue. Wade's going to get a statue.
Yeah, because I was going to say Wade.
I don't know if he'll get one. I think he should. Wade is the most iconic player in the history of their franchise. LeBron's the best. And
he can get one in L.A., though.
What'd you say?
He can get one in L.A.
Why? He won a title.
A bubble title.
Okay, stop that.
Yep. I am the fans.
Stop that. And I think the image that he should have in L.A., is whatever he's doing to break Kareem's record.
Okay.
When he breaks Kareem's scoring record.
I like your thought process.
Yeah, whatever that is. Now, knowing LeBron, he might try to break Kareem's scoring record while doing a skyhook. Kareem's, you know what I mean? Like if it's if he knows he's a point away and it's not at the end of a game, maybe he'll try to
see it.
But if that's the case, then it can't be that because Kareem's statue's the skyhook. Like when you were in LA, did you ever go to what was Staples and is now the Crypt and see the statues?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think I went to a game with you there. I don't think it might have been a Clippers game.
Same stadium.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's so cool.
Yeah,
Shaq's hanging on the rim and
Magic was out there, right?
Magic, Kareem. Yeah. It's so cool. I think LeBron should get a statue there. And also, he might win another title with the Lakers at some point. It depends. LeBron said after the game yesterday, he was asked about playing another 7 years. He's like, yeah, I don't know why not. He's like, as long as I keep my mind in it, I'll keep my body in it. He's playing at a super high level. So we'll see. They're not going to win
Brady
this
year. Brady are having a silent contest.
Yeah, clearly. No. Clearly. All right, next.
Giannis may be the most gifted athlete in the world, but we all know he struggles from the charity stripe.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting worse than he has in 5 years from the free throw line, throwing ladders after games, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's send him on an all-expenses-paid trip to basketball summer camp where he can work on his fundamentals.
All right, I'm not going to deal with this insult to Giannis, the best player in the world.
It's our best one yet.
That is a good... It's
freaking...
I like that Photoshop. Giannis, what was he to win in his 50-point game to win the title? 17 of 19 from the free throw line? It was something like that. It was what are you rolling your eyes about?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, I think it was 17 or 19 from the free throw line. I'm not going to criticize Giannis for the one slight flaw in his game, which is the lack of a consistent jump shot.
Yeah, we didn't do this to Shaq.
Exactly.
But right. We kind of did.
But Shaq sometimes would be taken out of games at the end because the free throw shooting was so bad. Giannis is not like that. Right. Giannis hitting 50% from the line. And, like I said, to win the title, he was nails from the line. So I'm not insulting Giannis like that. Next.
Hold on, I guess.
Oh, it's your guys.
I'll skip that.
Okay.
For now. All right, next up, got my boys in Boston, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Gift that is long overdue. Mm-hmm. With Anthony Davis out for who knows how long, the debate is over. I'm giving them the official title of best duo in the league.
Yeah, that's fair. Look at that. Oh, look at you.
Yep.
That's fair.
SpongeBob and Pat.
You know who's sneaky, just very brief, like just the last few weeks, is, and this one pains me, but is making an argument.
For what? For MVP?
For best duo.
Oh, best duo?
We go to a lot of their games.
Oh, yeah.
KD and Kyrie.
Yeah.
I mean, KD is playing out of his mind, and Kyrie has been really good lately. I got to give credit where it's due. I don't
trust. With the exception of the game that we went to.
The game that we went to, he wasn't.
Right.
But, I mean, the game against, you're talking about, we've been to a bunch of the games. You're talking about the game
one,
against,
the last one that I went to with the was against Bucks. The Bucks.
Yeah. Against the Bucks on a couple days before Christmas.
Right.
But yeah, Tatum and Brown are the best duo in basketball right now with Anthony Davis out. With AD playing the way he was, it was AD and LeBron, and the Lakers still weren't that good.
Right.
But Tatum right now is the favorite in Vegas for league MVP. It's a wild MVP race because Tatum has a strong case. Durant has a strong case. Luka has a strong case. And the guy we're about to talk about, Nikola Jokic, has a case.
With Kyrie, is his case not strong because of the games that he missed with his little stint?
For MVP?
Yeah.
Well, and because he's the second best guy on his own team.
Okay.
Same reason Jaylen Brown can't be MVP. You know what I mean? They're really good players, but second best guy on their own team. All right, next.
Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, give us a few more gift suggestions. We'll try to hit a couple of your questions next.
Okay, cool.
So next, we got your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
What to get the reigning back-to-back MVP? Your respect? No, that's clearly impossible.
Uh-huh.
Considering Jokic has proved he's still by far the most valuable player in the league so far this year, mm-hmm. Let's just give him what he's owed. A third straight MVP, and his second straight Michael Jordan MVP trophy. The redesigned one named after the GOAT, and we'll throw in a slide of your tears.
Okay. Look at that.
The GOAT.
Look at the picture with me crying. All right. So here's the thing.
Three-peat.
I wouldn't have a problem with Jokic being MVP this year.
If he didn't.
His team. Yeah, if he didn't win it the previous two. This year, he's doing what we have asked every MVP other than him to do. Put up those numbers while leading a team that could win the title. We made an exception for Russell Westbrook, and then we made back-to-back exceptions for Jokic that I did not like. This year, at all the NBA media acted like I was so far out of line. Because 2 years ago, I said the MVP was Chris Paul. Should be worth noting, Chris Paul then played Jokic in the playoffs, beat him, and made the finals. Last year, I said the MVP was Luka. Luka, with a very similar supporting cast to Jokic's, Jokic went out in round one, Luka went to the conference finals. But last year, my big argument was the guys who have won back-to-back MVPs are Russell, Wilt, Kareem, Moses, Larry, Magic, Michael, Duncan, Steve Nash, LeBron, Giannis. That was the list. Okay? And I said the Nash one looked bad and Jokic shouldn't get it. And all NBA media was like, that's not how this award works. It's about this year and this year only. Watch that same media not vote for Jokic this year because they don't want him to win three straight. Exact same thing they did with Nash, which Nash won back-to-back the third year. His team was the best it's been, and he was the best he's been, and he got one vote. Him getting one vote's not accurate, actually, but he didn't win it because people were like, he's not going to win three straight. Also, by the way, Giannis won back-to-back before winning a title. The next year, because he hadn't done in the playoffs, he got one vote because people were like, we're not giving him another MVP until he shows it in the playoffs. So Jokic, in a just world, 2 years ago, Chris Paul would have been league MVP. Last year, Luka would have been league MVP. And this year, Jokic would be the leading candidate. Instead, Jokic won each of the last two. And this year, when he's having his best season, Nuggets are the best team they've been, he's not going to come close. But that's because nobody listens to me on the MVP stuff. It's all right. History smiles fondly upon my indelible, perfect record of MVP opinions. We answer your questions in the chat next. What's right? Welcome back in episode 110, live on YouTube. And we are now going to read your questions and comments from the YouTube's comment section, as we always do, to wrap up these shows. Don't forget, tomorrow, our Week 17 NFL gambling show, coming off a brutally unlucky Week 16. Those were good picks. They deserved better than the 1-4 record. We'll discuss that on the gambling show tomorrow. Demonze, what do we got today in the from the comments?
All right, Jamel Warren said, I need this question answered because it sounds crazy, but it just might work.
Okay.
Trade Lamar for Justin Fields and a first and second from the upcoming draft. Who says no and why?
The Bears say no. The Bears absolutely say no.
First, they love Justin Fields, though.
They love Justin Fields. He's incredibly cheap, which matters a lot. And you've got to say right now, I think Justin Fields has slightly more upside than Lamar.
He's definitely beating him in the mobile. I think that he's a better mobile quarterback.
Think he's a better runner, then he definitely has more upside because
Lamar is nuts.
He's an unrefined passer, but he has more room to grow.
Right.
So, I don't think you said trade Lamar for Justin Fields and a first and a second. I don't think the Bears would trade Lamar or Justin Fields for Lamar straight up, much less throw in draft picks. Lamar is about to, if you trade for Lamar, you got to pay him $50 million a year. Justin Fields has two more years of basically being free than a 50. Sorry, Jamel, but the Bears are not interested. Next.
Murphy Berger asks, which potential 4 seed is more likely to make some noise in the playoffs? Jacksonville or Tampa Bay?
I think Jacksonville is going to win their first playoff game. I think Jacksonville is going to beat the Chargers in round one. The argument is it's in Jacksonville. Now, obviously, it would be in Tampa as well. Staley has no playoff experience. Herbert has no playoff experience. Trevor has no playoff experience on Jacksonville's side, but Doug Peterson has a ton. He's won a Super Bowl. And Jacksonville will be hot. They're able to, Now, again, Jacksonville's got to win in week 18 to get there. I think they will. I think Jacksonville's more likely. Let me put it like this. Jacksonville's more likely to win a game. But if you were to say one of them's going to win two games and make the conference championship, that would be Tampa. Like, I think that Tampa is more likely to go on a magical run, because Jacksonville, if they win that first game, they then are probably going to have to beat either Kansas City, Buffalo, or Cincinnati. I don't think they could do that, but I do think they can beat the Chargers in round one. Next.
All right, Mandeep Saini asks, who would you rather have to start a team? Who would you rather have to start a team? Prime Aaron Rodgers or prime Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is... Peyton Manning, there are arguments to be made he's the most technically perfect quarterback ever. They both got a little worse in the postseason, and Manning was more durable than Rodgers. Manning did it over a longer period of time than Rodgers. To me, it's Peyton. Peyton has a very, very strong case. He's the second greatest quarterback ever. With respect to Joe Montana and respect to other guys, I think Peyton has a very strong case, second greatest quarterback ever. And so to me, it's not even a question. Like, Rodgers, all-time great. Peyton's in a tier above him, in my opinion. Peyton also went to 4 Super Bowls, 1-2. Rodgers has been to 1, 1-1. Now, the second Super Bowl Peyton won, he was not good that year. But even if you take that out, then went to 3 Super Bowls, 1-1. To me, it's Peyton. Next.
All right, Kyra asks, Nick, what do you think of LeBron's comments aimed at the Lakers front office?
Listen, I think LeBron had some interesting comments yesterday about wanting to compete for championships and about how long he thinks he can play. I think LeBron's been actually on pretty damn good behavior as far as not subtweeting the Lakers or being mad that they're not making any moves, all of these things. And I think it is because he believes he's going to be continuing to play at a very high level for multiple years to come. And so he doesn't look at this as like his last chance to win a championship.
Right.
I forget who it was. One of his teammates said that he said he was planning to play till he's 45. That seems crazy. He turns 38 tomorrow, and him playing another 6 years seems crazy, but him playing another 3 or 4 years does not. All right, last one.
All right, Wilkick2 said, that crying picture edit is going to be a Twitter response to you all the time now.
Yeah, I know. That's what the... Okay, now they're going to put it big on the screen, it looks like. I don't think they understand, our producers, that people then screenshot these things and use them against me.
Yeah, I see them all the time.
You see them all the time. So yeah, that's well done. I don't mind it. It's well done. I'm trying to remember what I was even doing.
Yeah, I was about to say, they caught you.
They caught me in a fist bump with my eyes clenched. All right, that is one of the reasons that you should watch us on YouTube, not just listen to the podcast. Demonze, excellent show. Nice fit. Wearing the Christmas present. I love it. We will be back tomorrow with episode 111, our week 17 gambling show. Also, please tweet to Demonze babysitting tips for a 9-year-old girl, a 6-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old boy, as Demonze is going to be doing that this afternoon until I get off with the TV show.
I'm going to set up the game of Monopoly for them and just leave them.
They can't play Monopoly.
They sure can.
And they can't. No, maybe. Maybe.
There's
going to
be no winner.
Maybe they can. Sorry. Yeah. You're going to have to. By the way, they're all scared of the dog. So you're going to have to, you got a lot going on. So Demonze's got a busy day. He's got to break all this equipment down. He's got to make sure the shop looks good for when Danielle opens. He's got to do all his work for Fox, which, by the way, today, I do believe 2 days of ratings come out.
Yep.
So you have a lot to do. And you're going to have to babysit. So good luck. Enjoy. We'll talk to you guys. Oh, Deanna will be there. Deanna will help out. So there you go. Don't worry about it.
Babysitting stream.
Live Twitch, the babysitting. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. What's right?